Dear congregation, the verses that we're looking at this evening, they're at the very end of a sermon by the Lord Jesus Christ on the end times. They're the last verses, you could say, a final warning or a final wake-up call of the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins, as we noted for a moment, as the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd been teaching in the temple. And he especially used and began with how impressed some of his audience was by that temple. They looked up at the adornment and at the walls of that temple, and they were impressed. It was, after all, the biggest building, or one of the biggest in all the land, probably the biggest building that many of them would ever see in their lives. But in response, the Lord Jesus Christ, he directed their minds away from being impressed by that building and towards the seriousness, a warning really, in verse 6, that temple would be utterly destroyed. Hard times would come. And most of this chapter is preparing his disciples for these times that would come and these times that they would have to face of persecution, and preparing the church of all ages for false teachers that would come, as you read through this chapter, for wars, for the rise and the fall of different empires, for earthquakes, tsunamis, persecutions that would come. And as this world wears out like a garment, there's this fall into further chaos, there's natural decline, and then there's even the human chaos of this world as we go into an age of lawlessness. When you think about verses 8 through 28 and all of the trouble that's outlined there, it could have inspired a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ to take stock of what was about to come and to be prepared. The temptation would be perhaps to hunker down. Maybe many of us were more flight than fight. Maybe we think of the end times and the temptation is to hide and to hunker down or to fly under the radar sometime. Many people in our day who pay the most attention to the prophecies in the Bible, they do exactly that. They try to stockpile food or stockpile even weapons or make some kind of alliances or have some kind of strategy to move to some desolate place. And they hope by hard work they can somehow weather the storm and survive the last days. But the conclusion of the Lord Jesus' sermon, it points us to a very different kind of preparedness and a very different danger than we might think of in the last days. Now, when you think of the last days, maybe you think of the danger being the wars and the earthquakes and the disasters and all those terrors. But here, at the conclusion of this sermon, the Lord Jesus Christ, he focuses on a different danger. That would be a good danger for us to end this year meditating on and thinking on. We're going to look at verses 34 through 36 with the theme, the danger in these last days. We'll see first that it's a subtle danger, then that it's a worldly danger. And then thirdly, we'll look at the antidote to this danger. Well, verse 34, it begins with this warning, take heed to yourselves. Take heed, it means watch out, look out. Now, there are words in the New Testament that are more to do when it says watch out. Sometimes there are words that have the idea of a guard or a sentry, and he stands on the wall and he looks out for danger. But there's also a sense in this word, it's not actually that word, it's more along the lines of focus. Focus. You have a child that's not paying attention. Maybe you're trying to teach a child something and you hold them by their cheeks and you say, you need to focus. You need to pay attention here. You need to turn your mental powers somewhat inward, actually. Focus on yourselves. You see, these verses are calling us a little less to look at and be ready for all those exterior things that will happen. And it's saying now, focus on yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. And that's a change in focus, because in the end, the message of preparedness for the Lord's coming, it's not just to look for all those things that are happening, and we should see those things happening in our day. In the last 100 years, there's been more wars, more people killed in war than ever before. Almost every day in the news, we read of another earthquake in another place. We should be looking at the outside things, and we should be warned and prepared for the coming of the Lord. But here we're told, don't just look at the external, focus on yourselves. Watch yourself. See those verses before and that long section? Indeed, the Lord, He prepared them. Have your eyes open. Have the wisdom to see, just like when a fig tree comes and it's ready to blossom and you know summer is now near. Be ready to see all those things that are coming, those disasters. There'll be people living very comfortably, though, in the middle of all that. In the middle of all the wars, the Lord Jesus is actually warning us that there will be many people and many believers who are actually living the good life. Sounds a lot like our time, doesn't it? The world's full of all these famines and wars and disasters. And yet there's these other people who will think they're very secure. The warning in verse 35 is the end will come on them like a snare, like a trap. The whole point of a snare is you put that little wire along the rabbit trail and the rabbit runs down that trail and he doesn't even see that wire. It's hidden in the grass and it's too late. And the picture is there'll be people, they're running along their path and suddenly they'll be caught. It'll be too late. They won't be prepared. The same word was actually used in battle of an ambush. Perhaps an army or a group of soldiers, they'd be going down a path and they'd have to go through a valley. And the sides would be steep and all of a sudden they would be in a snare. They hadn't noticed and the enemy would be behind them and beside them and it would be too late. They hadn't been watching. They hadn't been careful. And the picture is those not watching themselves, they will end up trapped. They'll think they're running merrily along the path of life. And all of a sudden, bang, it will be too late. Many, many people will be surprised. And they'll be caught. And the main reason for that, it will not be that they weren't aware of the changes on this earth, perhaps. We all have newspapers. Almost the whole world now has the internet and radio. But the problem is there will be these people who are blind to what it all means. They'll have, as it were, a veil over their eyes. They'll have a clouded vision and they won't be prepared to meet their God. They'll be like the people before the flood. Before the flood of Noah, Matthew chapter 24, verse 38, the Lord Jesus tells us in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And a sign of the end times will be people actually deny the flood. The Apostle Peter tells us later, his epistle, they'll deny the flood and they'll be in that same pattern. They'll be eating, they'll be drinking, they'll be marrying right to the last minute. They're oblivious to that flood. And the second great judgment on the world, the first one was the flood. The second one is actually very similar. It'll be a judgment of fire. Once the Lord purified the world with water, in the future He will do it with fire. And people will be just as unready as they were for the flood. And the point is that in the end times, people, they'll not be unprepared because the evidence is not there. The world will be, as it were, shaking, will be falling apart. Things will be going wrong. The evidence will be there. But because they do not take heed to themselves, and they let themselves go, they will not be able to interpret it. And so this is a life and death problem. And the Lord Jesus, remember here, He's warning disciples. This is not a warning for those people out there and who are having their New Year's Eve parties right now somewhere out on Talbot Street. This is a warning for the church of Jesus Christ. There will be people who run right into that snare. And the Lord Jesus, he mercifully reminds his disciples, be awake, watch and pray, take heed to yourselves and the question that needs to be asked when it comes to the end times. Is not just what is your millennial view and have you studied these things and what stage do you think we are in and how do you interpret these events? There can be some importance to those things, though it can often be a lot of nonsense. But the most important question that we must ask and you must ask yourself this evening is, are you taking heed to yourself? Are you focusing on yourself? Are you watching your own life? Do you see the subtle danger that you can be blinded by the cares of this life? What pattern does your life show? Now we're going to examine that a little further. What do you need to watch out for when you focus on yourself? The greatest danger in the end times will actually be lifestyles, earthly pursuits. We're going to look at that now secondly. This worldly danger. In verse 34, what we need to be specifically watching out for is that our hearts are not weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Now, there is a literal side to this warning. The Lord Jesus does call us to avoid literal drunkenness. The Bible, again and again, it calls us, be careful, believers. Don't overindulge. Be very careful with alcohol. On the one hand, it can be a blessing, but then also a great danger. But even more, this is part also of a broader expression. We might say an idiom. It points to the danger of worldliness in general. If you put these two words together, carousing and drunkenness, it's actually more a picture of a certain lifestyle. There's three expressions. The first one, carousing. That's a translation that's a bit of an interpretation of the original. The King James Version actually has it surfeiting. Surfeiting, which was closer to the original. The word literally means carousing. It actually means a strong headache. It means a hangover. Carousing is a sense of it. But the warning here is people go out, especially on a weekend, and it's not just from drinking too much, it's eating way too much rich food and drink and doing regrettable things and waking up the next morning and feeling weighed down. But it's not just a one night thing either. This is a lifestyle problem. This is the lifestyle of a materialist. He goes out and he buys all these things and he eats all this rich food and he's partying and he's drinking and he's eating and it all goes to the point where he's weighed down. And he's feeling ill. We weighed down with excess. So the Lord Jesus is warning us here that in the end times, there'll be a great danger that people will be weighed down with excess. People will have too much. They'll have too much food around. They'll have too much drink. They'll have too many things to buy. Does that perhaps sound like our age? And the danger in our time, and they'll end up ill because of it. Now, how many documentaries could you find right now if you went and searched that tell us we're eating ourselves to death and we're drinking ourselves to death? Far too much of this or that in our diets. We're being weighed down by all this excess. And then the picture broadens beyond food and drink. The cares of this life can weigh a person down so they're not ready. The narrow translation of that is anxieties of living, worries. It could include things like our homes, our finances, our vehicles, our plans for the future, our plans for our families. And they can take over life to the point also where they weigh a person down. To the point that they forget that this life is temporary. And the narrow translation of this word is actually, if you take these pictures and you put it together, that there will be these people who are just plain weighed down. They have too much food, too much drink, too rich. They have too much stuff. And it's like they have burden after burden on top of themselves. And they can't see anything anymore for what it is. Well, if you take these pictures and you take this warning, and then you think about our televisions and our lazy boy chairs and all the food we have, and if you think about the magazine racks and the commercials and the music of our world and the lifestyle that we're told is desirable, and you even think of all the foodie trends and all the fancy food and drink that we can buy in our day, much of it very appealing and desirable and beautiful, but it becomes a lifestyle. And if you think of this picture, has there ever been a culture in this much danger as ours is today? Then you think of the cares of this life, the anxieties of living. Study after study shows anxiety is weighing down more and more people. It's this exact warning that many people in the church need in this day. Did you know that the majority, they say now, of college students are diagnosed with anxiety one way or another? We're anxious about life. And it's this exact warning that we need in the church today as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The parable of the sower, Matthew 13. Those seeds, they're sown actually to a broad audience. It's a picture in the parable of the sower of the word going out, and it falls in those different places. You remember there's the stony ground and then there's the soft ground. Some of it never takes root. But think for a moment of that seed that falls among the weeds. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus says about it? He who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And he becomes unfruitful. It's the same picture. It's the same language. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. That's a great danger in the church, that somebody does come to hear the word of God. They appear to grow as a Christian. There's some fruit even. The seed seems to take some root. But then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. They become bigger than the word of God. It's really the same warning we're looking at today. This danger that there's people who sit under the preaching, they hear the gospel, they go to church, they grow for perhaps a time, but then they end up distracted and they go back to the cares of this world. Their heart is turned to love the good things of this life, and their spiritual life is choked out by that. And the call is, wake up. Be watchful. We have to realize that our situation and our temptations in our day, in a time like ours, in a nation like ours, they fit this description exactly. And so we need to take this warning very seriously. You know, the books and the films in the Christian bookstore or elsewhere, if they talk about the end times, what do you see? You see a starving world and impoverishment and these apocalyptic scenes of deserts and fires and explosions and whatever else. You have those popular books about the end times. But do you see what the Lord Jesus is saying here? In the end times, there will be people who are living with much excess, who are living such a good life that they're completely unaware of where the world is going. Like some of those people, you hear of the story of the Titanic or whatever it is, they're partying right to the end. They're playing their music and they don't even realize, perhaps they've drunk too much or whatever it is, they don't even realize the ship is going down. And that's the danger of our day. And so the question needs to be asked, what are you living for in this life? Is it food? Is it drink? Is it an excess of sports and of entertainment? Is it the next big purchase that you're going to make? What can we do to avoid slipping? Well, when we see this danger, we should be searching for an antidote, especially in our culture and in our day. We should be wondering, what can we find? And we're going to look at that thirdly. The Lord Jesus tells us. You know, it's tempting to look at a passage like this and think, well, yeah, I have gone a little far in my life. probably spend a little too much money on this or that, and probably have made an idol in my life of one area or another. We begin to think that way, and then we think, well, maybe I need to get a little stricter with myself. I need to live a simple lifestyle. I need to start being a minimalist. And there's a whole part of the world that's waking up to these problems of our society, isn't it? It's this whole part of the world, it's offering healthier diets and tinier houses and minimalist lifestyles. Because people are feeling anxious. They're weighed down by the cares of this life. And so they begin to search and they look for a solution to their trouble and to the burden that they're carrying around with them. And they think, well, maybe we'll be simpler. Just live a simple life. Well, that does avoid some pitfalls. Perhaps they'll be a little healthier. They'll get through life a little better. There is wisdom in being a little bit more minimalist. But then, what so often happens? That approach itself becomes a new care of this life. And before you know it, that diet has become another shackle on you. And it also is dragging you down. And now you have another care in your life. And you begin to go into a spiral. And it ensnares you, that lifestyle change, that fad, that diet. It will not prepare you to meet the Lord, and deep down the conscience know this. Better habits, they may be important, they may be sanctified, they may be good and holy, done with wisdom, but they will not prepare you to meet the Lord in the way that is most needful. Now we're going to look at that. There's a more important change, and that's what we need to be called to this evening as we reflect on another year and the passing of time. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's what we need to focus on. Watch and pray. What does it mean to watch and pray? Well, the picture of watch, now it's back to a different word than the word take heed in verse 34. That was more focus on your own heart, focus on your own life. But now it's telling us again, be alert for a threat from any direction. It's the idea of staying awake. It's the idea of staying awake. It actually reminds us when you hear this watch and pray phrase, maybe many of you are already thinking of the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus comes to them. He reminds them again and again while he was suffering and while he was praying in that garden. And he was praying with such anxiety and such struggle. And he called his disciples again and again to pray, to stay awake, to be watchful. He knew what he was about to face, that he was the lamb led to the slaughter. And the call to watch and pray, it's a call really to discipleship. To be willing even to lose sleep in order to be prepared for his coming. We need to be willing even to lose sleep. But what's more important and most important is the focus on what we're to pray for. We're to pray that we would be counted worthy to escape and to stand in the judgment. That means what we're watching and what we're praying for, it's ultimately a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. To look to the Lord Jesus Christ, to pray for forgiveness in his name, to confess that we are a sinner, and that by his righteousness we would be accepted before the judgment seat of God. To pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in guiding and preserving us and to shepherd us through these trials. The call to be alert, to be prayerful. In the midst of spiritual warfare, very similar language in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. It says there, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you read 1 Thessalonians 5, the Apostle Paul, he's going over really the exact same ground as the Lord Jesus Christ. Both the word of Christ, of course, but he's expanding on the same themes. And he's saying, you need to get to work as a disciple, as a spiritual warrior. And the main part of that, also in Ephesians 6, it's prayer in all things, praying. If you are to pray that you'd be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man, that means you have faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You confess that it's on Him alone you stand. And that's the truth of the gospel. That's the place to begin. That's where you're called to today. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will be counted worthy. There's only one way out of this predicament, and that's to begin by having our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him. If you are not in Christ today, your sins are not forgiven. The cares of this life, drunkenness, partying, it will drag you down further and further. You will not be eagerly watching and praying if you're in that state. And so you're called today, go to the Lord Jesus Christ before it is too late. Trust in Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. This call, this command to watch and pray, it's the picture of that Christian soldier in the full armor of God. He's aware. He's looking out for the snares and the traps and the pitfalls. Every Christian, every generation in the Christian church, it faces different temptations. In ours, they're very much the temptations of verse 34. Verse 34 and 35. We need to have our eyes open. We need to be watching. We need to be aware. But we also need to be praying. Pray without ceasing. Make it a resolution. Commit yourself. Pray for the strength that you would pray more in this coming year. That it would be a year of prayer, of watching and praying. What does this mean practically? How then will a Christian live knowing these things? Does it mean that we hunker down or hide? Well, Martin Luther, he once famously said in response to the end times, "If I knew that the world was going to end tomorrow, I would plant a tree and I would pay my taxes." By that he meant he would go about and he would do the duties that he would called to do. If he had a tree to plant, and that's what he was going to do to the glory of God, he would plant that tree and he would go pay his tax bill, because that's the right thing for a disciple of Jesus Christ to do. I don't want you to think that by preaching on this I'm calling you to be some kind of monk who goes and hides in a cave and thinks they need to go on an island somewhere and literally pray like those Orthodox priests used to try to do. They would go to a cave and they would try to pray over and over and over exactly the same phrase. It's a time, 24 hours a day, they tried to pray that over and over. That's certainly not the call of the Scriptures. The call is to redeem the time, to work hard, to feed our families, to take care of our children. All to the glory of God, but with this perspective of watching and praying. In a way, this should not change what we do tomorrow, but it should change our perspective from looking at this world and becoming more and more weighed down by what's happening all around us one way or another, to looking forward, to watching and waiting and continuing to pray. And if you are watching and praying and hoping in Jesus Christ, and if your prayer is, "Christ, come quickly," what a great hope there is in that. The hope that in Christ you are, Christian, worthy to stand before the Son of Man because of His righteousness, not because you're such a wonderful person of prayer, but because you love and trust in the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so let us pray that we will stand on that last day, that we'll be given eyes to see strength to fight the good fight of faith. Let us always be watching and praying. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father in heaven, we come and we bow before you. And we know that you are the Lord who is merciful and gracious, that you are slow to anger, that you are full of kind compassion, that you do not pay us as we deserve for our sins. And we thank you and we praise you for one more year of your patience, that we could sit here. And even those perhaps that are yet unconverted could sit here and hear of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Savior. We pray that you would teach each one here to watch and to pray. Pray that you would teach us to focus on ourselves, to examine where we have been and what we have done in this past year, and to consider what we ought to replace those thoughts and those patterns and those things with in this coming year. Oh, we know that we are not able to do these things. We confess that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We pray that you would be merciful to us in Jesus' name, that you would forgive us our debts, but also that by your Holy Spirit, you would shape and that you would mold and that you would sanctify us. We pray that none here would be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. That no one here would have that day come on them unexpectedly. But that we all would watch, therefore, and pray. That we would be counted worthy to escape all these things. Oh, we confess, we deserve that we would be swept away in the flood. We deserve that we would be burnt in the fire. But we thank you and we praise you for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he bore the wrath of God against sin on that cross, that he descended even into hell. And we plead on his righteousness, trusting in his name alone. Be merciful to us sinners. We pray that you would bless us, that we would have wisdom as we think and as we examine our lives. Oh Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom to look into our own hearts and to think about the patterns and the lifestyle that we live as families, and to consider where we may be falling short in the calling of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also ask that you would give us the patience and the strength to pray. There are so many distractions. Pray that you would teach us to resist the devil, that he would flee from us, that we would stand firm. We pray that you would raise up mighty men and women and children of prayer that would stand firm in all prayer. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.